Now, the February employment numbers are out. According to the Labor Department, 379,000 jobs were added. That's about 170,000 more than expected. The unemployment rate fell to 6.2%. A year ago, it was just under 4%. As the pandemic ramped up a few weeks later, it shot up to nearly 15% before coming back down. The trend is in the right direction, but unemployment remains a problem, and it's showing up in different ways. According to a recent survey from Pew Research, half of U.S. adults who are unemployed, furloughed, or temporarily laid off and looking for work are pessimistic about their prospects, and two-thirds say they've considered changing careers since they lost their jobs. Plus, there's the emotional and mental health issues that go along with being unemployed. And if you have a job, are you happy with it? A 2017 Gallup poll showed that only 30% of Americans say they're engaged at work. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like your job? Or are you really glad to be done with the week? Did you lose your job during the pandemic? What has it been like trying to find new work? Have you thought about making a career change? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ken Coleman is a career expert in Nashville and host of The Ken Coleman Show. He's the author of The Proximity Principle, the proven strategy that will lead to the career you love. Ken, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thrilled to be with you, Rob.
Well, now with the pandemic, a year into this thing, hopefully light at the end of the tunnel, what are people asking you about the most, Ken, when it comes to jobs?
I think the question we're getting the most is, which option should I take? I mean, we just are seeing people that are moving forward and they're beginning to consider, should I go to this particular job or this particular job? I know the sector I want to be in. I know the type of work I want to do. And that's a result of they're listening to our show, and the Ken Coleman Show is constantly working through what you were created to do, how to figure that out. And so we have a lot of callers that are educated on that methodology, but it's also really encouraging that people are more than ever, because of the pandemic, are saying, you know what, I saw a massive disruption hit me, or if it didn't hit me personally, it hit people that I know, and certainly a large portion of our country, and even around the world. This was not a U.S. pandemic, and so they're saying, you know what, if I'm going to get kicked out of the nest, I kind of want to jump out myself. And I think that that's what we're seeing more of, is people considering, as you mentioned in your setup, changing careers because they weren't really engaged enjoying the work they were doing prior to COVID.
Well, let's talk to the people who are in a line of work that was hit especially hard, the restaurant workers, the travel and tourism people, you know, where people have to gather in the place you work. They might have been unemployed for quite a long time. Maybe they like their work, maybe not, but they might be looking for something different. How would you suggest they get started and figure out where they go next?
Yeah, so they need to get clear. And this is stage one of my 7 stages to meaningful work. And what do we mean by get clear? Well, this is truly self-awareness, Rob. And so you're going to look at 3 elements that every human being has. Number one, talent. Everybody's born with talent, maybe raw talent, but you can hone it into a sharpened skill. Think of it as a lump of clay that the potter, you know, obviously shapes it into a very usable tool or vessel. And so the same thing with skills starts with talent. So what do you do best? What has always come easy for you? People have complimented you on it. It's just something that you've seen other people struggle comes easy to you. The 2 categories here are hard skills. That's an actual skill that you can put to work, technical in nature, not necessarily technology, but you're using your hands, your mind, that type of work. And then the soft skills, which people call people skills. So compassion, patience, you know, that kind of a skill. So hard skills, soft skills. What do you do best? And you really want to assess the things you do best, not the things that you do okay and average, the things you do best. Then we look at passion. Do an assessment on what's the work that I love to do. When I think about this type of a task, a function, or maybe a role, I get excited about it. When I'm in the middle of it, I've got the juice, as I say. You know, you're alive. You feel joy when you're engaged in it. You don't want to stop it, and time seems to disappear. And then finally, what results do you care deeply about? Work creates results, so what results do you want to contribute to the world? What do you want your contribution to be? I call that mission. So you use what you do best, talent, to perform work you love, passion, to accomplish or produce results that matter deeply to you. That's mission. So that's what I teach on the Ken Coleman Show. And for anybody looking to say, where do I really want to go? What was I created to do in my work life? Because I think we were created to work. You could substitute work with contribute, and you realize this is not about being a workaholic. This isn't about your entire identity being your professional identity. It is your contribution. And so that's how you get clear. And that's how you begin to see, oh, I can use my talent to do this type of work and produce this kind of result in multiple jobs, multiple career paths, and even multiple industries.
Talking to Ken Coleman, career expert in Nashville, host of The Ken Coleman Show, author of the book, The Proximity Principle. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your own advice or your experience in the work world today. Keith is with us in Black River Falls. Keith, hello.
Hello. Well, I'm listening to this and I'm just saying yes, yes, yes. I came into my career kind of a little later in life than most. I was in my late 30s when I discovered that things that I've enjoyed doing at my own place for friends, and it's basically construction work, contracting, home repair, things like that. And after a couple quite well-paying jobs just weren't satisfying to me, I resigned and I took up contracting. And I get up every day with problems to solve. I make people happy by fixing their problems. I feel satisfied when I'm done at the end of the day. And actually, with this pandemic, everybody's finding things for me. So I've got more. More satisfaction over the last couple of years than I've had for quite a while. So anyway, this program is really speaking to me, and I urge everybody out there to try and find that which gives you passion, which makes you enjoy getting up and going to work.
Yeah. I love it, Keith. Thanks a lot, Ken. He's on your page. Yeah.
Well, you know, he just described it beautifully. I mean, he put real life example to the methodology I just explained. You know, Keith feels tremendous, deep, abiding satisfaction every day because he is contributing something that is significant to him. And it's significant to him because he sees the significance that he is creating for other people. And that's what this is about. Finding our purpose, Rob, is not about us. It's about others.
Thanks for that call, Keith. It occurs to me, though, Ken, some employer out there lost Keith. How, if I'm a boss or if I'm running an organization, how can I make sure that my employees can find at least some of that stuff they're looking for in the job so that they do feel engaged and they don't want to go off and do something
different? Yes, that's a brilliant question. I'm so glad you asked it. And this is what's really going on. You quoted some data at the setup of my appearance here. We may have given it to you, but that Gallup poll has been pretty consistent for the last 5 to 7 years. That right at 70% of people in America are not engaged at work. And so let's look at the word engaged there. It doesn't mean they hate their job, because I think a lot of people are grateful for their job, certainly now more than ever. However, what's driving engagement? What drives engagement is what I just went through a moment ago. When you're using what you do best, most of your job, most of your day, you're using your talents. So you're very proficient, and that feels good. Nobody likes to do anything they're awful at. Except for golf, that's just me, you know. But then you're also doing work you love. So you most of your day, not all of your day, but most of your day, you know, you're doing work that you really enjoy engaging in. And then, of course, you see the results of your work every day. The evidence is there. So to answer your question, leaders must think of each position they're hiring for and say, who is the ideal person for this role? And if they were to use Ken Coleman's sweet spot analogy, they'd say, well, they've got to have this talent. It's non-negotiable for them to enjoy this job. And then they've got to love this type of work, because that's just non-negotiable. That's what this role is made of. And then they've got to care deeply about producing this result. That's what this company does. That's what this particular job does. And so you want to put people, as Jim Collins, the great author of Good to Great and many other books, has found from his research, they're the right person on the right seat, or in the right seat, rather, of the bus. So if leaders are seeing a disconnect and someone's disengaged, it's probably because they are either not doing something that they care deeply about. There's no passion, no juice for the job, or they're bored. They're not being challenged enough, or they're overlooked. They feel like they're underappreciated. And again, that's a leadership problem. So those are three factors that leaders need to look at. And if you're addressing those issues the way I just described, you got a good chance for long-term retention, Rob.
Let's Let's go back to our callers now. Jake is with us in Appleton. Jake, hello.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about, Jake?
You know, I just want to say I was one of the fortunate ones to retain my current employment with my employer here in Wisconsin. But ever since the COVID pandemic began, we went through a restructuring, and some were let go. Some had different positions. Others weren't affected at all. I had to go into a new position. While I'm thankful for the fact that I'm working, there's this looming like feeling of uncertainty, and I feel like I wasn't sure if I was asleep at the wheel and not aware that so much could change at the blink of an eye. But I also not sure how to separate that from maybe I was asleep at the wheel. Maybe I, you know, this is kind of like a wake up call to really see, you know, engage, you know, how fast things could transition and where to go from there. So it was definitely a weird feeling, and I'm still navigating that. And that change happened like less than 6 months ago.
Wow. Mm. Well, Jake, best to you as you navigate that. And that makes me think, Ken, you know, even if we feel secure right now in our position, how can we cultivate, I guess, a sense of resilience for if and when that big change comes?
Yeah, so let's address this. And Jake, I don't want you to beat yourself up, because the reality is we can only control the controllables, and nobody can control a worldwide pandemic that has so many unknowns attached to it. And employers didn't know what to do. Government officials didn't know what to do. It was kind of a, hey, let's just try to figure this out and make the best decision we can. And so I don't think you were asleep at the switch in this particular situation or at the wheel. But the bigger question, Rob, is people need to know what they want to do. What is that role that you were created to fill? What is your sweet spot? And we go back to this. What are my top talents? What is the work I love to do? And what are the results that I want to create? And we put all those together where they intersect. It creates a contribution zone. I'm calling it the sweet spot, but we just call it the contribution zone. And so as long as I'm aware of that, when life throws its detours at us, because it will, or potholes, and I think we could call COVID a tornado of potholes and detours and everything that life could possibly throw at us. It was just crazy. So what do? When we get knocked off the path, we retreat to clarity, back to what I started with. And then we say, okay, wait a second. I got kicked out of this job, this company, but it's unsettling and it can create confusion. And so I'm going to simplify. The best way to get out of a confusing situation is to simplify, simplify, simplify. I'm going to get clear again. Wait a second. I know my sweet spot. Okay, I know the type of work that I want to do that makes me feel alive. So I'm going to look for it in other places, so that no matter what life throws at us, we know the mountaintop. We know that professional pinnacle. We know what that dream job is. We ought to know it, Rob, because when we know it, no matter what happens to us, we can get back on the path. We know the mountaintop. So if we have to strike a new path up because of a mudslide, if you will, using the mountain analogy, that's okay. And so I think that's key for folks like Jake that have been through that. You've got to know the big picture, the big, hairy, audacious goal, as Jim Collins refers to it. What's that mountaintop, that dream job? And then I know that pinnacle, so that no matter what happens, I can dust myself off, get back up, and keep moving.
Thanks for that call. We're talking about the best way to find the job or career that's right for us with Ken Coleman, career expert in Nashville, host of the Ken Coleman Show. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you rethinking your career, your job right now? Did you rethink it? Made a big switch? How did it work for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about work-related issues, identifying the role, the career that's best for us, applying for jobs, dealing with difficult bosses, whatever else is on your mind. Ken Coleman stays with us, career expert in Nashville, author of the book, The Proximity Principle, the proven strategy that will lead to the career you love. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Charlotte is with us in Evansville. Charlotte, hi.
Hi. I was wondering if your guest could provide some resources for, for example, my husband has been in banking for about 15 years and started doing that out of high school. now has decided that's definitely not what he wants to be doing, and obviously not in high school anymore, so doesn't have, you know, a guidance counselor to help him hone in his wide range of interests. So where would you start with that?
All right, be the guidance counselor for him, Ken.
Yeah, so we want to, again, have him look at what has he always wanted to do. You know, I love this when we get callers on the Ken Coleman Show that kind of have an idea, but they're not really sure. And so we want to let the heart speak. We want to get the brain out of this thing and not worry about how I get qualified, how long it'll take, how much it's going to cost. We just begin to say, what would I do tomorrow if there was no risk? What would he do if he knew he could not fail, but he didn't have to commit the next 30 years of his life to? So this is that risk-free work adventure. I'd ask him that question. The second thing is I would have him delve into things that he has wondered about. And I can tell you this, even when I'll have a caller sometimes, we'll say, Ken, I just have no idea. And I say, yeah, you do. You've thought of something, whether it was 3 weeks ago, 3 years ago, 13 years ago, or sometimes 30 years ago. What have you wondered about? What would it have been like if I had done this? And so what we're hearing here is we're hearing the heart. We allow the heart to speak, and the brain is kind of speaking from a voice of fear and doubt, maybe even pride. What others may think, what others are going to say if I leave this really nice banking job. These are real enemies of progress. So I'd have him start there. And once he begins to identify the work that he would really like to do, we want to match it up with that exercise. Is that in his contribution zone? Is he built for that? Does he have the talent to do it? Does he love that type of work? Does this match up with the results that he wants to create? And if the answer is yes, 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 then he doesn't need to wonder whether or not he's going to be a good fit for it. Now it's about, what's it going to take to get qualified? What do I need to learn? What do I need to do? How much is that going to cost? How long is that going to take? And that puts a plan together. Now, I just put you almost on tilt with a lot of information. So what I would tell you is we have a nationally syndicated radio show and people call in from around the world because we podcast it. So I'd have him call the Ken Coleman Show Monday through Friday, 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time. We got a toll-free number right there at kencoleman.com, and I'd love to have him call the show. And inside of 5 to 6 minutes, I think we could set him free.
All right. Good luck to your husband, Charlotte, as he figures this out. We'll go to Roy now in Wauwatosa. Roy, hi.
So, long and short of it, there are people that work very hard, and they are very engaged, and they work harder than I do. I know these people. They have a very strong ethic that they had at a young age. Mm-hmm. The thing that irritates me, I mean, the percentage that you gave with regards to people that are not engaged at work is, I'm stunned. It's one of those things where, if you take into consideration you're not engaged at work, then you're ripping off those people that you work for. And Americans need to stop ripping people off, especially other Americans.
Roy, thanks for the call. Roy, not really approving of people not being engaged at work. We can maybe bear down a little bit more, Ken.
Well, I think he's right. I mean, I think he's irritated. He's like, wait a second, what's going on here? And I think we have to really break down the word engagement from that study. And what that simply means is they're doing the bare minimum. They're doing the job that is asked of them, but they're not doing it at, you know, full gusto. Their heart's not in it. They're doing the job. And that doesn't mean they're doing a bad job. It's just that they're not trying to do this work to get promoted. They're not trying to do this work because they have a deep, abiding missional attachment to it. It's just a safe job. And this is because, Rob, here's the deal. I'm taking on a really, really big school of thought. This is going to take me a couple decades to really turn this ship. And that is that most people look at work as a utilitarian function. I work to live. In other words, I work to make enough money to take care of my basic needs, shelter, food, my utilities, transportation, clothing, anything else is just, you know, extra memories. And people live for the weekend. That's why they're miserable on Monday mornings and they just count down until Friday afternoon. That's what we mean by people aren't engaged. They're not fired up for the work. And here's the other thing, Rob, this really has a lot of other implications to it. We know this from data, tons of studies that I don't have time to quote, but it's out there for anybody who wants to look it up. When you are unhappy in your work, you're not fulfilled in your work, it affects you as a spouse. It affects you as a parent. It affects you as a coworker, a teammate, a friend, a brother, son. There is this deep longing in every human being, no matter where you are in the world, no matter how you vote or what your faith is or no faith at all. Everybody has this nagging question, why am I here? And we can all kind of answer it by just saying, I want to help people. There is a decency about all humans, and we long to make a difference. That's what most people can agree on. And so that's what's happening when people aren't engaged. They don't see their work as attached to anything other than a paycheck.
Just a few moments left, Ken. One exercise I'd like you to share where we think about a character we admire in a book or movie. Yeah. What can we learn from them?
Oh, I love this. This is for people having a hard time finding that juice, that passion and mission. So here's what you do. Think of your favorite book, novel, television show, movie. And once you begin to think of that, begin to think, well, who's the character that I would play? Or who's the character that I connect most with in that story? And then ask yourself why. And as you begin to detail out why you connect to that character, why you admire that character, why you would play that character, you begin to learn something about your heart. That just strips everything away. Insecurities, fear, pride, what others have said about us. And it lets us see, this is what makes my heart excited. And that's an indicator of the role. Something similar. You want to play that role in this world. That's the mark you want to make. It's a great exercise.
That's a good place to leave it, Ken. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
That's Ken Coleman, career expert in Nashville, host of The Ken Coleman Show. He's the author of the book, The Proximity Principle, the proven strategy that will lead to the career you love. We talked with him about finding the job that's in our sweet spot where our talent, passion, and mission come together. You can find more information at WPR.org/Central Time. And maybe if you'd like to share your experience or rethinking your career, your line of work, you can tell us about it. Email ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.